in righteousness with the God of heaven. You know what? You and I can have that same relationship, because the same God that was there for David is the same God that's there for you and I. The same God that turned David's life around in Psalm 40 is the same God that turned your life and my life around. The same God that met David's every need is the same God that meets your need and my every need today. The same God today that lifts us up when we're down and encourages us when we're broken and heals us when we're sick, and is that friend that sticks closer than a brother, is an advocate, a representative. He is more than that this morning. He is the Lord. He's everything. But friend, before you can call on Him, you today have to know Him as a righteous God and receive Him as your God today. Amen. Thou hast, and I like this next word. You know what it says? Enlarged. I like that word, enlarged. It says, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You know what most of us do when we get in distress and trouble? We withdraw ourselves. We get down in the mouth. You know, our body language tells us and tells everybody else exactly where we are. And the unfortunate part about that is too many Christians are walking around contently in a place where their mouth is drawn or their lips are turned down and they're not serving the Lord and praising Him, that even in the distresses of life, let me tell you what David said. I'm going through a problem, Lord. But you know what David said? He didn't say, Lord, you know, just give me a little bit of comfort here, or pat me on the head, or change my diaper, or whatever. And that's what most of us Christians want to do. We want to be pattered, pampered, and puffed up. Amen. But you know what he said? He said, Lord, enlarge me in my distress. Amen. He said, have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. Now, last week, we talked about some things in your life with Joshua, and it's not a series, but God's kind of putting it together as a series of some life-changing things that can happen in your life. How you can see your dreams become a reality. How you can see your life turned around. How you don't have to live in a sour disposition and in a sour attitude and think all life offers me is trouble and that's what I've got to live in the rest of my life. I've always got to live down and out. You know what? I'm going to tell you this morning, that's the biggest lie the devil has issued you and served you today, if you're going to believe it. But the devil serves up lies. Lies are not truths, are they? But God serves up the truth, and we need to believe what God has said. I'm telling you this morning, as I told you last Wednesday night, and the Wednesday night before, and last Sunday morning, and the Sunday morning before, for the last 2 weeks, we have told you of some things in your life that will change your heart and change your thinking and change your outlook and change your uplook. Amen. But you've got to make the decision and the choice of what you do with it. You can be content to stay in the same old vacuum, the same old spot that you're in and never be changed, or today you can accept the change of God and see God work mightily in your life. See, it's not that God today can't do it. It's the fact that you won't let Him do it. Amen. And so, therefore, you've got to get in the place and have the same outlook that David had. He said, boy, I am at a spot. I am going through trouble. He said, but you know what? I'm going to ask God to enlarge me in my distress and have mercy upon me and to hear my prayer. He had enough confidence that God had always come through for him, and that even in that trial, God would take that trial and turn it into a blessing. Amen. You know God will do the same for you, y'all. Come on. Get alive now. Amen. I know you're sitting there soaking it up. You say, man, just feed me up, brother. Well, get involved in it and you'll even get fed more. Amen. So be a participant. Don't be a spectator this morning. You know, when we step out in faith, that's when we see the supernatural power of God begin to be activated in our lives. Well, it started with the activation of salvation that you asked to come into your heart and your life. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That was the activation that brought you out of death and brought you into life, that brought you out of condemnation and brought you into the presence of Almighty God. So you made a decision one day. You said, I don't want to be lost no longer. I don't want to go to hell. I want heaven as my home. I want God on my side. I want to be usable for God. And so in order for me to do that, I've got to invite the Lord into my heart and my life. And that day you asked Jesus to come in to save your soul, you received Him by faith. Now let me tell you something. Not only is faith necessary for salvation, that faith is necessary for everyday living. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things you haven't even seen yet. Amen. And so therefore today, you activated your life with faith, but brother, you need your life activated every day. Not that you need to be born again and again and again and again and again. You get the right dose of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you've got an eternal transaction. But then beyond that, you You need the presence and the Spirit of God in your life to enable you every day to be usable for the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have trials and difficulties. That's a part of living. But I've got good news for you. When He said we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that means you can live above your trials and troubles. That doesn't mean you find that as your escape clause. No, it means you face those trials and those troubles. You get the Lord involved in your life and you become victorious over all things. Did you hear what I just said? That you are victorious over all things. Amen. We're looking for excuse why we're down and out all the time. I'm telling you this morning, God doesn't want you down and out. God wants you brought out. Amen. He wants to deliver you. He is a delivering God. He is still on the throne. He's still got an arm outstretched. He can still bring you out of whatever you're in today. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that you've got to fight life through. You know what too many of us are? We're wimped out. We don't want to fight. We've become complacent in living in the same old spot, the same old trial, the same old trouble that we've been in for a long time. I'm telling you this morning, brother, you've got to fight because Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. You've got to toughen yourself up in the Lord. You've got to make up your mind that you're not going to accept defeat. You're not going to accept any of the wiles of the devil. That you're going to accept what the Lord has said. Because if God be for you, then who can be against you? Amen. David said from that text, enlarge me when I was in distress. Three things that God can enlarge, and listen, you've got to let God do it. Now this is the introduction. I hope this is not going to be another one of those messages that I never get past the introduction. But three things God can enlarge today. God can enlarge our dreams. Amen. Amen. Most of us think a dream is when you go to bed at night and you've ate too much of this or too much of that, and you have these wild dreams. I mean, you think you're fighting lions, bears, and tigers, and you think you're on the lions, bears, and tigers, and you think you're on the yellow brick road headed to the place where the Wizard of Oz is at. Y'all wake up, some of you wake up in the morning, you're tireder than you were when you went to bed. Stop eating all those bologna sandwiches and all that trash food before you go to bed, and maybe you'll get a decent night's sleep. Amen. Stop watching that stupid, hellish, one-eyed monster called television, all that shooting and all that blood and gore and sex and garbage and filth on it, and maybe you won't dream about all that trash. Amen. Maybe if you'll just fill your life with the presence of God and have an old-fashioned time in the Word of God and talk to the Lord before you go to bed at night, maybe you'll start dreaming about heaven and start seeing angels up there stringing on harps, and you'll see King David up there singing, and you'll see the crystal river, and you'll see the mansions and the gold and the glittering presence of Almighty God. Maybe you'll see things a little bit different. Because see, what you watch and what you put in your head usually is what you become. Amen. So therefore, you've got to involve the things in your life that have quality. But listen, it's nothing wrong with dreaming, but I'm not talking about those nightmares that you have because you ate too much junk food before you went to bed. I'm talking about the dreams that you dream because the psalmist David said in Psalm 34 and verse 37 and verse 4, he said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. You know what he's talking about? He's saying those who are willing and has indeed the power of God in their life to dream, to be stretched, to reach out and to believe God, he said, I'll give you those desires of your heart. Now, I know, and we Baptist folk many times say, yeah, God supply your need. Well, He does that because Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply your every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. He'll do that. But let me tell you what, I'm not going to keep out Psalm 37 and verse 4. If God said that, honey, I'm going to stand on it. Amen. If God said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, I'm going to stand on that. Amen. You know what we do? We water God down. We take our big, mega, awesome God that He is, and we water Him down to some little mini God you can stick in your pocket and pull out when you want it. Well, I'm telling you right now, brother, God's bigger than me, and He's bigger than you, and He's bigger than this world. Amen. And so I want a big God on my side, and I'm not going to shrink Him or shrink wrap Him. I'm going to let God just be God because I want my heart blessed of Him. And I tell you, if He said He'll give me the desires of my heart, brother, I'm going for it. Amen. Amen. Now listen this morning. You can dream those dreams, and those dreams are those things that are deep within your heart. They're things that you really desirous of. God put them there, by the way. God put them there, so you've got to go after them in faith. You've got to believe the Lord for it. You've got to believe what the Lord is. God wants to see those things accomplished, that He will be glorified because He put those dreams there to start with. Amen. It's not just something you got up one morning and said, oh, I'll tell you what. You know, man, God puts a spark in your life, amen. And you want to see that spark brought forth. I'm telling you, my friend, God wants you to do that. God can enlarge your dreams today, amen. But you know what many of us are doing? We think many, brother. We don't think of the power of God and what God can do. You better be reminded this morning, He can do all things. Everything. Anything. Anytime. Any way He chooses to do it. Amen. God wants to see those things happen in your life. He can enlarge your dreams. When you read this, you're going to get enlarged. Amen. I'm not talking about going down to the Texas Tea Room and eating a lot of bowls and a lot of hot dogs and hamburgers and getting enlarged. I'm talking about getting enlarged in the Word, brother. I'm talking about getting filled up with Him. He'll enlarge you. He'll enlarge your dreams, and your dreams will become realities. Amen. God can enlarge, second, your vision. This morning, you know, you have to today understand and see what no one else sees. People think you're crazy. I have people that think I'm absolutely nuts. I don't really give a flip what they think about me. But I am crazy in love with the Lord. Amen. And so therefore, you have a vision. Be reminded this morning, the writer of Proverbs says, where there's no vision, the people perish anyway. You've got to have a vision. You've got to have a dream. And this morning, you've got to anticipate that it's going to come forth. That's what your vision is. You'll believe in it just as if it had already happened before it happens, and you're even thanking God that it's going to happen. You say, man, I ain't never done that. Well, why don't you try it? You might be surprised. It works. Hello. Phone's ringing long distance. Pick it up. The Lord's on the line. Amen. God can enlarge your dream. You know, a smart person would write that down. God will enlarge your vision. A smart person would write that down. And God will enlarge your goals. A smart person will write that down. And remember, see, you've got to be enlarged of the Lord. You've got to be dissatisfied with where you're at. And that's nothing. You say, wait a minute, I'll say this, and all things be content. You're right. But God doesn't want you so laid back and relaxed and at ease and Zion that you're ineffective and your life is not growing. We're talking about a growth process here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about an enlargement of you. We're talking about the Lord doing a work in your life and through your life, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, the Lord working in you and through you. Why don't you let the Lord be the Lord and direct your path and bless you as He desires to do? Now, let me move along, because time's flying. God may not send the storms, and we all have those storms of life. But you know what I've found? God can use those storms. He can use them. And today, we've got to realize that God does not waste anything that you go through. You've got to see God in everything and in all things today. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. Amen. The decisions we make in trouble are important. Because the decisions you make in trouble usually is going to determine how soon and how quick you're going to get out of that trouble that you're in. But see, I find a lot of times Christians like being in trouble. They like walking around with a towel called a crying towel. They like to walk around with a little stool called a pity pot. And brother, they take their little pity pot and prop to punt it, and they take their little crying towel and they say, poor me, look at me, I'm going through this. Well, I hate to bust your bubble this morning, but Buster, you're not the first person that's been through trouble, and you won't be the last. God has brought all His saints through, and He'll bring you through. Amen. Throw away the pity pot, cast away the towel, get up and go on and do what God's called you to do. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to share three things this morning that in the midst and the times of struggle and in the problems that we face in life, three things that are very important. Now, let me tell you something. I want to change you this morning. I want to get your thinking right for God. I want to get your focus right for God. I want to get you involved in the Word where God can do a work in your life. But you've got to be willing to want it. You can walk out of here the same condition that you walked in as, and brother, you can make that decision. But when I walk out of here, you say, yeah, but you're preaching it. Man, let me tell you what. Everyone that goes to you, there's three more coming back at me. Amen. So let me, before you ever heard this, God's already whooped them up on me with it. Amen. And I'm going to get whooped up on some more with it. And I'm going to say, Lord, hallelujah. Change this. Work this. Move this out of my life. Move this into my life. Work in my life the way that you want to work. Make me what you want me to be. Amen. And that's where it comes down to. Some of y'all need to hit an old-fashioned Holy Ghost altar, get the cobwebs off of your heart, and say, Lord, change me. Now, that goes against your flesh and it goes against your nature, because most people don't want to be changed. You don't want to change the things that are happening in your life. You don't want to change your habits. You don't want to change your thoughts. You don't want to change anything. Maybe God's ready to make a revolutionary change in your life that will absolutely bless you beyond compare. But you've got to be willing to want it. You've got to be willing to get out of that mold that you're in and get in the place where God wants to move your life. Amen. And to make you effective for Him. And to bless you. See, God can do it, can't He? I said, God can do it, can't He? I said, God can do it, can't He? I can't hear y'all. I said, God can do it, can't He? But you've got to want what God wants to give you. Now, let me give you three quick things. When you're going through the strife, rethink your priorities. See, you've got to constantly examine yourself. You never get too old to do that. I'm in my early 50s. Early 50s. I'm in my baby 50s. I just started in 50s. And most people, when they get my age, they settle in, and this is the way it is. I don't want to be that way. Man, I tell you what, I want God to work in my life. I want Him to make me what He wants me to be. And it means I've got to rethink my priorities. And you know what? I found that when you consider, how many hours is in a day? Y'all are smart. How many? 24, right? Right. 24 hours in a day. Now let me ask you a question. What part of that day, of those 24 hours, do we give God? You say, well, man, I give him, I'm in church on Sunday morning. Come on, preacher, give me a break. I'm in Sunday school. I'm in preaching. I'm in church Sunday night. I mean, I'm here. But I'm not just talking about Sunday, because this is the Lord's day and it should be all given to Him anyway. Hello. Amen. Listen, the fact of the matter is, let's talk a little bit between Monday and Saturday. What's going on there? What's happening in your life? How much of those 24-hour days on Monday does God give? Well, preacher, I have to get up in the morning. I have to eat my breakfast. I have to go to work. I come home in the afternoon. I have to eat my supper. I have to newspaper, and I have to watch the 6 o'clock news, and then I fall asleep in my lazy boy, and then I get up at 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or whatever time. Oh, by the way, the football season is starting today, and I've got to watch the football game, Monday Night Football. I've got to check this out, check that out, and, you know, well, I tell you what, when it's all said and done, I just don't have no time to read my Bible, to pray, and to seek what God would have for my life. Now, whose fault is that? It's your fault. Because you've chosen to make the one-eyed monster your God. You've chosen to make getting up and sitting at the breakfast table your God. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We all have to eat. But I'm saying right now, you need to make time for God in your life, friend. Amen. You need God in your life as much on Monday as you need Him on Sunday. And you don't get enough of Him on Sunday to carry you through to Monday, the following week. Amen. Let me tell you something. You've got to put God first in your life. And you've got to realize that our priorities in life are important. You have to give God your life. If you're going to say part of your life, no, you've got to give God all your life. Amen. You've got to say, God, I'm going to spend time in Your Word because I hunger for that Word. Don't sit down and read it if you think, I just got to sit down and read it because the preacher said so. Don't sit down and read it because I told you so. You sit down and read it because you want to grow. Amen. Because if you sit down and read it because the preacher said so, then you're not going to get a dime's worth of good out of it. When you get good out of this, it's when you sit down and you want it, brother. When you want what's in here. When you want the blessing. When you want the Spirit of God. When you want the presence of God. That's when you're going to get it, amen. You've got to want the Word in your life. You've got to want to make time to pray. It means you may have to get up a little bit earlier or stay up a little bit later or pray throughout the day at different times. But I believe you've got to want it, amen. So therefore, I believe when you spend time with God in His Word and in prayer, and I believe today you've got to make your decision and you've got to say to yourself, I'm going to start reading the Word. I'm going to start studying the Word. I'm going to start being more in prayer. And don't just do it! And then you're going to say, I'm going to start going to church more regularly. This Sunday morning stuff, just don't cut it. It's not enough. I got to be in church more. Man, I got to go back Sunday night.
I got to go back Wednesday night. As I told you last Sunday morning, we got folks sitting here this morning that ride, sometimes they have free time, they'll ride around and come by the church just to see if somebody's here. So they think that maybe somebody's there and we have some fellowship or have some prayer, talk about the goodness of God. Bang! Priority, right? But most of our priorities are so much out of alignment. Y'all listening to me this morning? Well, I don't want you just to listen. I want you to live it. Amen? Listen. Our priorities are so much out of alignment, we can't see straight. Amen? God has to be first, ladies and gentlemen. Not because I say so, but because His Word says so. Remember the words of Jesus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You can get off track so easily, but you need to get back on track real quick. Amen. What's important is to keep up your personal fellowship with the Lord. And by having your priorities right, that's what you're going to do. You're going to have the Lord's presence in your life, and you're going to know it. Amen. See, here's the bottom line. God's important. Amen. Make Him first in your life. Make your family important to you this morning. We get so strung up about everything in the world and jobs and everything. Our family suffers. You better thank God for your family, friends. Amen. You better not take for granted what God's given you. You husbands, you ought to turn to your wife right now and give her a big hug and tell her you love her and you're glad to have her with you this morning. Amen. Go ahead. That's all right. You can kiss her too. That's cool. Kiss my wife. Only time I did this, well, I got married. Maybe you need to start kissing them all in church. Amen. Hey, we get things on track. Amen. I ain't going there. Amen. You got to realize God's important. Your family is important. Your children are important. I mean, brother, with everything else was gone, what really matters is that your relationship with God and your family and your friends. Amen. Because the world didn't give you those. And the world can't take them from you either. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in trial or triumph, keep God prioritized. Let me go quick because I'm going to finish up here. I'm going to finish this message. In the time of trouble and distress, not only do you have to realign or rethink your priorities, but also you've got to examine your attitude. We hear a lot about attitudes these days, don't we? Attitudes. You know, you think about your attitude. Is it critical? Is it negative? Or is it good? Your attitude is going to give you away. It's going to tell exactly what you are. Proverbs 30. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs 30 and verse 32 says. He says, "If thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth." He says, "If you're going to say anything negative, sock your mouth with your fist." Amen. So it won't come out. Sock yourself a few times, and you'll be more cautious of what you say. Amen. Amen. Don't let negative attitudes and thoughts come out of your mouth. There's no place for it. Because if it comes out of your mouth, it means it's in your life. And it means it's probably controlling you, and you're smack dab off the track, and you're missing the blessing of the Lord. See, let me just give you this little insight. Your attitude is your choice. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what happened. I don't really give a flip what happened. Don't tell me. Because you made the choice to have the attitude that you've got. Amen. Your attitude is not based on your circumstances or your situation. If your attitude is like a bulldog with AIDS, then that's your choice. Amen. Your attitude is not a result of what someone else has done to you. Because you can take that and you can let the goodness and the radiance of God shine through you and lift you above those things, can't you? Amen. Or you can get vindictive and revengeful and say, I'm going to get even if it kills me. Well, then it probably will. Always try to see the best in everybody. Suppose Jesus had saw nothing but the bad in us. Man, let me tell you what. We'd been a mess, wouldn't we? But He saw the best in us because He saw Him getting in us and making a change in our life. Amen. See, God, He makes us all unique. We're all different. Aren't you glad? Aren't y'all glad you're not like me, Cap? Well, hey, answer that. We're all unique. We're not alike. We may talk alike a little bit, and we may even resemble each other a little bit, but we're all different. We're all unique. And if you're critical, it's going to follow you. It's going to follow you all the way through life. And you're going to be a miserable soul. Are you sick and tired of being miserable? Well, change your attitude. Amen. You've got to see things as God would see things. You've got to let the Lord be involved. God can break that today. And it is a curse. A rotten attitude is a curse. You ever get in bad attitude, preacher? Yeah, I get in a bad attitude. But thank you, Jesus, I don't come there to stay. I don't camp out there. I pass on by it. Amen. And don't y'all sit there in y'all's little self-pious, holy way, self-righteous hypocrites and say, so the preacher gets a bad attitude sometimes. Well, I hate to tell you, every one of you do too. Amen. And some of them, I've seen you have bad attitude. But thank God you're no bad attitude here this morning, right? I said no bad attitude here this morning, right? All right. Get your attitude straightened out, brother, sister. Amen. Amen. Because, see, the Word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know what a bad attitude puts you in? In bondage. That's what it puts you in. It renders you ineffective. Boy, you're going to be a positive example for Christ when you're so defiant and you've filled up with the devil so much, bless God, nobody wants to talk to you, speak to you, your children run from you. My God in heaven, you see any Jesus in that? Hello! I don't think so. Get over it. Go on. Remember, get your priority off of yourself and get your priority on God. That's where the problem lies. Amen. You see, if you got one of those harsh, hard, judgmental attitudes, you're sowing bad seeds. And the Bible says what you sow, you're going to reap. Am I right? Amen. If you're sowing bad seeds, you're going to reap bad seeds. You mark it down. That's Scripture. When I think of judgment, I think about what the Word says, judge yourself. Look at your own self. I'm trying to get these Christians in Gethsemane to look in the mirror more often and talk to yourself. And go into your own heart and see what's there. And what's there is not right, get it right. And what is there that's right, use it for the glory of God. Amen. And replace the bad stuff with the good stuff of God. Amen. Get your priorities straightened out. Get your thinking, your attitude straightened out. Because, see, your attitude is nothing but a byproduct of your thinking. And when you get, you know, Jesus just doesn't want to be in your heart, friend. Come on, y'all. He wants to be in all of you. And He wants to be in your thinking. Because what's in your head is what's going to come out of your mouth. And once it comes out, you can't take it back in. It's said. Anything you're going to say, say it to glorify God. To uplift the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now, some of you this morning, listen. You need a change. You say, preacher, this ain't Bible stuff. Yes, it is. It's going to get you to the point that you're effective for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be the witness that you should be. That's what it's going to do. It's going to get your thinking straightened out, your heart straightened out, your home straightened out, your life straightened out, and it's going to make a revolutionary change in your life that you'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thirdly, and I'm through. When you think you're going through the dark times and the trials and the struggles of life, learn to turn your situations over to God. Amen. You don't have to fight the battle on your own. God never said that. God is a mighty helper, isn't He? He's a present help, isn't He? He is a consistent God that can be depended upon. You look to where your help comes from, don't you? David said, I looked unto the hills from which cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. I like Isaiah 49:16. Listen to this. This is going to blow you away. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. Woo! Lord have mercy. That means, brother, let me tell you what. God hasn't forgotten you. God has remembered you, and God wants you to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. You may be sitting in these pews in this church this morning, and you may be laden with trouble and trial. But He says, your walls are before me, and I'm going to bring you out of what you in. I'm going to bless you, help you. I'm going to deliver you, and whatever's needed in your life, I'm going to supply it. Amen. Man, I tell you, God's an awesome God, isn't it?
Amen.
Glory! I feel like climbing the pews. Amen. Woo! Man, you get your priorities straightened out. You get your attitude straightened out. You get your cares cast upon the Lord. And all I can say is, look out. Here you come for Jesus. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you, at your weakest point in life, that's when the power of God shows up. And it will manifest, reveal, expose itself in the strongest form. You won't know how it happened, but you'll know who brought it forth. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In your weakest hour can be your strongest hour. In your darkest night can be your brightest day. Because you've learned to put your troubles and your trials and to cast your cares upon the Lord. Amen. God says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. The Lord leads you through life, and He does it one step at a time. And you've got to learn to let Him do the leading. You're not a good guide. I hear this, but you're not a good guide. And I'm not either. He's the only guide that is sufficient. And you've got to let Him take over. When we all go through the struggles, we've got to learn to give it all to God. Give it all to God this morning. Every situation, every circumstance, every problem, every pain, every difficulty, whatever you're facing in life, you've got to learn to give it all to God. Everything. Several things, I'm through. Here you are. Listen, several things will happen when you involve God in your life. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 things, and I'm through. 1, God will bring you out stronger. God will bring you out stronger. I'm going to say it one more time. God will bring you out stronger. 2, God will bring you out with a greater determination. You should look at the devil and tell him, it's going to take more than you to get me down. I mean, you know what? The devil goes boom. We say, oh, devil, please don't pick on me. Why don't you say, boo in Jesus' name. Watch him run. Amen. See, it'll give you a greater determination. Trials, you can look at it in 1 or 2 ways. You can let it pull you down to the depths of despair, or you can let it rise you up and give you a greater determination that you're not going to quit. Never quit. I preached on it last Sunday, didn't I? 3, God will bring you out with a bigger vision than you've ever dreamed. You know what, folks, listen this morning. Get out of that little pinhead mentality. All you see is just, I hope the Lord can do this little thing for me. God doesn't deal with little pinhead mentalities. God is a mega God who can do mega things. Ask Him to give you and seek a bigger vision, and ask Him to give you a bigger dream. And 4, God will take the enemy, that was what the enemy meant for evil, and He'll use it for good. God will take what the enemy meant for evil and use it for good. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. As we just quoted a moment ago, Romans 8:28. I mean, listen, there's scripture after scripture this morning that gives support to that. What are you saying, preacher? God will see you through. He'll see you through. Let me ask you a question, and I'm through. What you do with the Lord is your decision this morning. The statement is God will see you through. The question is this. What do you need to give to God? What do you need to give to Him this morning? Is it your priorities? You say, preacher, how do you know my priorities are not right? Because you don't show up at church. Because you never go out and visit
You're never in the Word. See, it shows. It comes out in your life. Your priority is out of alignment. Your attitude gets out of alignment. And then when you're faced with a trial, you don't know how in the name of God you're going to get through. I'm telling you right now, there's an answer. One, put God prioritized first in your life. Two, not only get Him prioritized, but get your attitude as that of Christ. And three, you'll learn to put your troubles where your troubles belong. You'll cast all your care upon Him. And you know what will happen? The end result is you will be a stick of dynamite for Jesus. He'll use you and make a change in your life that you never thought could happen. The problem is we're not willing to change. We're not willing to let God do the work that He wants to do in our life. Today's your day. Today's your day. And if you want it, it's right here. It's right there. If you want to leave like you came today, that's your choice. But if I tell you, brother, I want to give it all to Jesus and let Jesus use me to glorify His name, I hope that's your desire today too. Here's about our